Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with studies in the book of Genesis. And we're in the 19th chapter of that book. We're dealing here in this chapter with the destruction of the cities of the plain of Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember that in our preceding lessons, we have noticed that Sodom was given to us as a type of the terribleness of sin. One only needs to read, for example, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, and Revelation 11, the book of Jude, verses 6 to 8, Isaiah chapter 1, and other portions of Scripture, where when God wants to give to us a sample of the awfulness of corruption, moral corruption and sin, he uses the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in chapter 19, we have labeled this chapter, The Result of World Conformity. You remember we took up the fact that in chapter 13, Lot made a choice. He left Abraham and he chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. And the next thing we know, he's in the city. And in chapter 14, he was warned at the Battle of the Kings, where Lot and his family were taken captive with many others, and of how Abraham went and delivered them from their enemies, defeated the enemies and brought them back. And Lot went right back into Sodom. And when we come to chapter 19, the first verse, I find that Lot is a ruler in Sodom. It's a sad picture. Very, very sad picture. And yet when you come to this passage, you have the experience of Lot and his deliverance. Let me read again that first verse. There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. We just stop here. Here you have him sitting in the gate of Sodom. In chapter 18, the first verse, we had Abraham sitting in his tent door. He's still a stranger, still a sojourner, and you remember how God meets with him. He's down there in Mamre in Hebron. But in chapter 19, you have Lot in this city as a ruler. And if you read the passage through, you'll notice that the men of Sodom never recognized Lot as one of them. You remember in verse 9, we read, this fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with you and with them. And they pressed upon Lot. You remember how they tried to break into his house to get a hold of these two men. You see, faith never put Lot in Sodom. You don't go by faith to a place like Sodom. It's the opposite. Faith calls for obedience to God. Faith calls for a walk with God. For without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This way they have the life of faith. Nothing pleases the Lord more than faith in him. Simple trust in the living God. But he turned his eyes in self-will, self-desire, selfish, made his choice, landed in Sodom. If you read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, you'll find that Lot was called a righteous man. That righteous man vexed his soul daily because of the sinfulness around him. Then why in the world didn't he get out? This is no place for a righteous man. Some would say, well, look at the good he's doing. My friend, how much good did Lot do in Sodom? We have this excuse today for some Christians in their joining with groups that have no thought, no room, no place for God. This walk of separation is a difficult walk. I know that very well. You can't read your Bible without realizing it. Every step of faith of Abraham was a call for separation. And you know when you go down, you always take someone with you. He took his whole family down in there. And we see the footage of that. See, he lost his testimony for God. You can't live a life of compromise and not be affected. How about your children? Are you going to sacrifice your children to worldly advantage? This is what you have here with Lot, the result of world conformity. His whole family became touched with the disease of Sodom. I repeat it, when you fail God, you generally bring somebody down with you. And I repeat it, a life of compromise breaks your fellowship with God and affects others. You're going to walk with God, whatever the cost is. When you think of your own family, your own children, you send them to school, they hear all kinds of things. They're taught all kinds of things. And many of those things are contrary to the Word of God. And if ever there was a time when parents needed to walk before God for their children's sake, it's today. And I would plead with you, Christian men and women, to walk before God for your children's sake. You can't compromise with the world and not pay heavily for it. Look at this man Lot. He didn't mean to go to Sodom. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. But when he got to Sodom, he was no longer living in a tent, but living in a city of sin, moral corruption. And he lost his testimony for God. I'll tell you one thing very frankly. He didn't do Sodom any good. And you can't do any much good either if you're walking out of fellowship with God. And just see, it suggests this. These are lessons for us to learn. This man is even willing, listen to what, he's even willing to sacrifice his two girls to the men of the city. You know the story. I'm not going to take the time to read it. Of how these two angelic beings came down to Sodom, and Lot invited them in. Come on into my house and stay with me. And they said, nothing doing. We'll stay on the street. But he urged them, and they went in. And he fed them. And then the people of the city came round. The men of the city, old and young, they came round and wanted these two men. They wanted these two angels. Where are the men you brought into you tonight? Bring them out to us. We may know them. He's a sodomy. And Lot went out of the door and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. I say again, you call them brethren. The angels refused his hospitality, and he called the men of Sodom brethren. How much further can you go? I'm reminded of our Lord in John chapter 8, of how he remember, they said, the Jews of the day said to our Savior, we be not born of fornication. We have one God, even God is our Father. He said, if God were your father, you'd believe me. You were of your father, the devil, and his works you do. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. This man had no testimony with his own family, had no effect upon his family or friends. In fact, his two girls were engaged to be married to two of the men of Sodom. The possibility that the two daughters were possibly ashamed of Lot's peculiarities. They were engaged to the man of Sodom. Even his own wife's heart was filled with the people of Sodom. In fact, when God, through his angels, dragged them out of the city, she looked back. Her heart was in Sodom. And you remember, she turned to a pillar of salt. And even Lot himself didn't even want to leave the city of Sodom. He had to be dragged out. That's what you have over here in verse 15. When God said, when these men said to him in verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, oh, who were to marry his daughters? Up and get you out of this place. The Lord will destroy this city. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. No testimony. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters which are here, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought him forth abroad, he said, Escape for your life. Look not behind you, neither stay thou on all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. And you remember he begged off. I don't want to go to the mountain. I'm scared of the mountain. I'm scared lest some evil overtake me. My, what a contrast to Abraham, who was living on the mountain, on Hebron, Mamre in Hebron. And he, remember, he asked for the privilege to go into a little town close by. And they said, hurry up, haste thou, escape hither, for I cannot do anything till you come hither. In other words, the judgment of God cannot fall upon Sodom until Lot and his wife are out of it, his family are out of it. Well, you notice that place. The judgment cannot fall until Lot is out of it. You have this in verse 22. I cannot do anything until you come hither. Amazing thing, is it not? Here God's going to destroy the cities of the plain, and he can't do anything as long as Lot is in it. And he took Lot out before the judgment fell. By the way, you know, that reminds me that this is true of the Church of Christ. When the Lord, before the Lord is going to pour out his wrath upon this world, he's got to take his children out of it first. In Romans chapter 5, verse 9, it says, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In Thessalonians 1:10, they waited for his Son from heaven, even Jesus, whom he raised from the dead, who hath delivered us from the coming wrath. Thessalonians 5:9, God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:10 says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of tribulation, of trial, which is to come upon earth dwellers. You see, friend, the moment a person accepts the Savior, to become a child of the living God, they'll never come into judgment. And what we call the time of the great tribulation is the time of the judgment of God. It's a time of the wrath of God upon men. One only needs to read a few of those Old Testament prophecies in Joel, in Zephaniah, in Daniel, in Isaiah, without realizing that God is going to come when the cup of iniquity is filled full. The wrath and the judgment of God must fall upon men. And for over 1900 years since the death of Christ, God has been patient, he's been long-suffering, he wants men to be saved. He's been manifesting his mercy. And men turn their backs on the living God. They turn their backs on his mercy. And the time is going to come when God is going to judge the world in righteousness. And he's going to do it by the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's ordained to be the judge of the living and the dead. The guarantee of that judgment is his resurrection from the dead. You have that in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, 31. See, friend, the believer will not come into judgment. That's what the Lord said in John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Just as sure as I'm talking to you, there's a time of judgment coming. The living God is not only love and merciful, but he's also righteous and he's holy. And his very righteous character demands judgment upon sin and rebellion and immorality. And when the cup is filled full, judgment must fall. Again, I remind you, in Genesis chapter 6, the cup was full, and God gave them a few days of 120 years of grace in which to be changed. Remember this. And then when you come over to chapter 11, the cup was filled full and God scattered the nations of the earth. You come to chapter 15, the cup of the Amorites was filling full. And now you come to chapter 19, Sodom and Gomorrah, the cup is filled full. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says concerning Israel, for the wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost. The cup was filled full. They not only had crucified the Savior, but when God offered them mercy afterwards, they spurned the mercy of God. And the result? They were scattered among the nations of the earth. Friend, with all this history before us, are we going to take the place that it'll never come to us? I won't tell you. If I know the condition in the world today, not only in America, but throughout the world, and we're living in the best country there is in the world, blessed of God beyond any other nation in the world, yet we're turning our backs on God. And if I could tell you conditions in Europe and different parts of the world, I must say the cup of iniquity is filling full. But the wrath of God will not fall upon men as long as the Church of Christ is here. And just as the wrath of God could not fall upon Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot and his family got out of there, so the wrath of God will not fall upon the world until we get out. And he's going to take us out of the scene. Just as sure as the Lord died and rose again from the dead, the believer is going to be delivered from the judgment and wrath of God. And then, my friend, I don't want to live on the face of the earth when he pours out his wrath. I don't want to be on the face of the earth when the church is taken away. For the moment the church is gone from this scene, then the judgment and wrath of God come upon men. I tell you, my friend, if you've never accepted the Savior, you remember this, will you, please? You can't play fast and loose with God. God is absolute in righteousness, absolute in holiness. It's true, he's full of mercy. And as I said a while ago, for 1900 years he's been manifesting mercy to our generation, to the world. But one of these days there's going to be a change. Just like in Sodom. And even Lot, who was a righteous man, vexed his soul out of the will of God. Couldn't do any good in Sodom. His own family were ruined by the sins of Sodom. Yet God would not destroy the city until Lot was out of there. And the angels had dragged them out. Had to drag them out. May I suggest one more thing? Lot and his family were delivered because of the intercession of Abraham. For I read in verse 29, and it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. You remember in chapter 18, Abraham had pleaded 6 times with God. Will you destroy the city for the 50's sake, for 45, for 40, for 30, for 20? Let not my Lord be angry. If there's only 10 righteous, will you save the city for the 10's sake? Yes, I'll do that, Abram. And Abram stopped interceding. But God remembered Abraham and delivered Lot. Now the chances are, if you and I had been there, we would have said, well, Lot, you've made your bed, you better lie in it. No, God doesn't act that way. God interceded. Abraham interceded when Lot was in Sodom. And I'm reminded of that wonderful verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, 25. Wherefore he is able to save perfectly all those who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. How glad I am for the intercessory work of the Savior, who keeps his people fit to come into glory. Just one more thing about the chapter, I didn't spend any more time here. The chapter ends on a very, very sad note. You remember that Lot eventually went up into the mountain with these two girls, and they lived in a cave. This man who chose by the sight of the eye and lost everything is now living in a cave with two girls who carried with them the very sins of Sodom. And the result is they were immoral with their father, and the result was two boys were born. One was called Moab, one was called Ammon. And these two became the heads of two nations that opposed the people of God down through the centuries, the Moabites and the Ammonites. And I tell you, friend, sin is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. I wish in some way I could get to your heart. The failure of Lot to walk with God is seen in the fruitage of sin in his daughters. I again plead with you, parents, to walk with God. For your children's sake. For your children's sake. And I appeal to you to start the day with God. Live through the day for God and with God. And then remember, you go into the presence of God, knowing that your heart is clean before Him, and that your children have come to know the Savior, the one who to know is life eternal. Don't compromise with the world for your children's sake, for your own fellowship's sake with God, and for your testimony's sake. And may the Lord bless you today and learn the lesson of what you have here in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. The Lord bless you today for His precious name's sake.